and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter of the prison of the grave. This started with laughter on a bright morning in a battle over a chicken, and got better as it went along. It could have lasted a lifetime, but it didn't. It stopped on a gray morning with a little wishbone broken.
From the pen of Raymond Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Now, with Gerald Moore, starred as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Little Wishbone.
Sometimes the sun doesn't shine at 9 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes everything's just gray. The sky, the buildings, the streets. The faces going by, gray in a man's mind. And when I parked in front of the politely landscaped Stucco Square on Sunset Boulevard and got out of my car, I knew that this was just such a morning. And that was right, as it should be, because what I had to tell her, what had to be said, belonged in gray, to the chilling half-light that leaves everything and everybody something less than real. To the half-light that may be a moment before birth, maybe a moment after death.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see Miss Jones. Miss Cordelia Jones, please. I called. My name is Philip Marlowe.
Oh, yes, Mr. Marlowe. I'm Mr. Early. Come in, please. The police told me what happened, sir. I'm sorry.
Yes, thanks. May I see you now, please?
Yes, of course. It's the last door down on the right-hand side. This way, Mr. Marlowe.
The plush carpet that ran the length of the corridor was also gray. And that fit, too, with the morning and with what I had to tell Miss Cordelia Jones. But, well, it didn't fit with another morning. 3 weeks ago, a morning that was bright inside and out. And it didn't fit with Jonesy. Oh, not Jonesy. The stranger in the butcher shop, the customer with the enchanting green-gray eyes. The girl who wanted the same sewing chicken I did. And in no uncertain terms.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't. Possess a knife, friend.
It's 9 cents of the law. And that young lady is just what I'm holding. Namely, one wing, one neck, both legs. Give me that. No, I got here first.
Oh, you didn't, Mr. Marlowe.
There.
But neither did you, Miss Jones.
Ah.
It was a tie. I'll put it to our finish. Now, who really needs this scrawny little girl the most?
Me.
Me.
No, no,
I do.
No,
I'm
no,
the
no,
one who... We're not all talking together. Now, you first, Miss Jones. I'll be the judge.
No, fair enough, Mr. Schwartz.
Your Honor, early this morning I was inspired.
Yeah.
I woke up thinking about chicken cacciatore.
Chicken cacciatore? What do you think I was thinking about? I was thinking about...
No, no, no interruptions. Now, young lady, you woke up thinking about chicken cacciatore. Go ahead, Mikey.
Well, I think for chicken cacciatore you need chicken, and since I cook for one, I need a small chicken and a testimony.
Uh-huh. And you, Mr. Marlowe?
The same, Judge. Honest to goodness. For inspiration, do I also cook for one? Not even spoken for. You?
Well, good. Then that does it.
I guess what?
Solves the problem. Tonight, you have dinner together.
Oh, no, it couldn't. We don't even know each other. Why, this is... What's your name again?
Marlowe, Phil Marlowe. What's yours?
Jones, Cordelia. But don't dare use the first part I answered with him.
Oh, dear. Yeah, now you know each other. Well?
Suits me. Jonesy?
Oh, no. It's the 100 North Carolina. 8 o'clock. Don't be late.
I'm
sending
you
right out, please, Mr.
Schwartz.
Bye.
Goodbye. Mr. Marlowe.
Yes, Mr. Schwartz.
You can put the chicken down now. You're the only ones in the shop.
Well, that's the way it started. And it had gone along at about the same pitch from the chicken cacciatore, which was the best I'd ever eaten. But only because I could look at the lovely chef while I ate it. That's a wonderfully gabby evening that I didn't want to see end. But end it did. To lunch the next day and the day after. Oh, yeah, Jonesy was something, all right. By profession, an artist around the edges. She painted beer cans for light for an ad agency downtown. So her place on Sherramoya was half studio, half apartment, and all cozy. You know the kind of cozy that makes you want to curl up the second you walk in? Always makes you hate to leave. But leave you did because Jonesy liked to go places. And Jonesy liked to do things. Liked to play miniature golf and badminton and course bowling every Wednesday night.
Okay. Marlowe out in front it is, but the lady still has one car left.
All right, let's see.
Here we go.
Hey!
Oh, God! Bill Boy, you rude. Money, you're quick. Now, tell me, am I great or no? Quick.
Great, baby. Real great.
Gentlemen, before we stop through the observatory proper, and tonight we're fighting this to the moon.
The ball in a dirty double-crossing deal.
Yes.
I'm talking about you. You call my office. Two beers tonight, you say. Let's just look at the moon. You bet I expected Mulholland Drive. Yeah, park car and all. Oh, come on, Jonesy. We can still get out of here.
Have you two quite finished your little chat?
Quite. We're sorry. We'll be very quiet, we promise.
You and me,
thank you. Better stay with the others.
Okay, we'll stay with something breaking you up, Junior?
Yeah. Young love, my friend. What was that? Excuse me, but I don't think I can listen to a charming guide anymore. Good night.
That man going to the door.
Yeah.
Who is he? What did he think?
But he was leaving. But young love always broke him up. Why?
Because I guess I thought he was somebody else. But come on, that's great speech. Would he listen to the moon?
Or the moon over Mulholland Drive.
Bill, be packed, my boy. Maybe a few seats. Come on.
Most inimitable child, Jonesy was crazy. But there, too, I went right along with her. Because in those 3 weeks, I passed up a half a dozen jobs for every one I took. Never stuck my chin out very far when I did go to work, and all in all, tried my best not to behave like the high school sophomore who suddenly realized that spring can mean something more important than baseball. We were at her place one night. The evening plans had called for me to sit as a model, from the wrist down exclusively. All I had to do was hold a bottle of Johnny Walker in the pouring position while she kissed it. But I just couldn't get with things.
Well, you're fidgeting again.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get any steadier. How much longer, Jonesy?
A minute. Don't think about it. What about tomorrow? Sunday. Are we playing?
Loads of them.
Yeah. What happens first?
I come over here.
It's breakfast, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And after hot cakes, bacon and eggs, coffee and lots of cigarettes,
you
we can,
anything.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, come to think of it, I have. Grapefruit broiled. We'll start with that. Then the eggs basted, and then...
Impossible. I'm helpless. What next? After you've gorged yourself, I mean.
Yeah, well, after I've gorged, we'll get in my car and take a ride. Say, Laguna Beach?
Oh, no, not that, Bill. Not Laguna.
You what? What is it, Jonesy? What's wrong with Laguna?
Nothing, Phil. It's just that I don't like it there. It's an artist colony, you know. And it's where I couldn't make a go of it once. I thought when I go back, I'd rather go someplace else. Anything. All right?
Sure. Yeah, I thought it was something more serious, Jonesy. I mean, not that your work doesn't count,
but... You're a detective without office hours, huh?
Yeah, yes, right. Do I go back to the bottle bar?
Uh-uh. You don't move an inch down.
Well, give me that stuff. Pencil, board, paper, all of it. We'll put it over here, and I...
Oh, good God, I'm crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nervous, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no damage, then. I don't think. Glad it wasn't your watch.
That's broken.
Mm-hmm. Hey, baby, it's kind of cute. Miniature ice skates, huh?
For my kid brother. I think we were going to be a great skating team when we grew up.
Really? And the four-leaf clothing?
Oh, well-wisher. Go back to college. A girl.
Mm-hmm. Hey, kid. Tear a heart and twine. How about that?
Also, go to college and running a business.
Okay. And this thing?
Hmm?
Here, where the piece is broken off near the chain. What was that? Well.
It was a wishbone. Oh, when I lost it. Phil, put the bracelet on my wrist, please. I just remembered I got to finish this shirt. It's due first thing Monday morning. Tonight?
You mean I got to close tomorrow?
No, thanks, Phil. I'm finished alone. I'll look for you tomorrow morning at 10. All right?
All right. Good night, Jonesy. All the way home, I floundered someplace between pouting poor Marlowe, the girl he goes for keeps secrets from him, and plain male pride. Goodbye, Jonesy. You live your life and I'll live mine. But by the next morning, I told myself on the switch. Some things just weren't my business. I wasn't a private detective where Jonesy was concerned. It would all work itself out. Life would go on. And it did. Breakfast was wonderful. Boiled grapefruit included. And the ride to what turned out to be Santa Barbara, perfect. So in the days that followed, no more was said about it. Nothing unusual happened. Until the following Friday night, that was the night before last, we were at a square dance at a local Daughters of Something or Other Lodge. The exercise would do me good, she said, and I was learning in a hurry. I thought.
Laughter died in her throat and we swung into a grand right and left, which abruptly brought her up against a tall, fat man with a circle of sweating face that offered cold, black buttons for eyes. Almost no nose and thin, pale lips that were twisted as far away from a smile as possible. Without saying a word to me, she ran from the floor towards the check room. And I started after her until suddenly I remembered the face that had just frightened me. It was the man who had laughed at young love that night at the observatory. The man Jonesy had thought she'd known. I turned back just in time to see him walk off the other side of the dance floor, calmly leave the building by a side entrance, which was all the cue I needed.
Hey! Hey, you! Hold it! I want to talk to you.
You want to talk to me?
Yeah, who are you, friend? And let's not bother with the routine we played at the observatory.
Oh, yes, I remember you now.
Good. What else do you remember? Come on, the girl in there. I want answers, mistress. They mean a lot to me.
Yes, so I see.
So you saw before, and I'll start talking.
All right. That's just what I planned to do. And you can tell her that for me. And also remind her that I was on the corner of 3rd and Oak, too, on Armistice Day. 3rd and Oak, on Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach?
Yes. And if you don't mind, give her this, will you?
Gold wishbone. A charm.
A charm that can't miss for me because both ends are in my hand, see? So when I pull it apart as I make my wish, I can't lose. Well, now the pieces, Mr. Big Talk. I turn them to the lady and tell her that I'll be heard from again. Good night.
Good night. Yeah, they'll hear from me again, too.
People don't sit together. We haven't got a chance against their mothers. Now, we'll be... Oh, wait a minute, a customer. Call you back. Yes, sir. Your check?
Yeah. But first, miss, there was a girl. About your height, dark hair, pretty green eyes, a green dress,
oh, yeah,
like...
wait a minute. Are you Mr. Marlowe, miss?
That's right. Did she leave a message?
Yeah, she said to tell you she was going, but not home, just going.
Just going?
Yeah. Just going. For good. Oh, want your hat and coat now, mister?
Yeah. My hat and coat. No other word than that. She wasn't coming back. I spent what was left of the night looking for her, checking from one place to another, but it was no good. And the next morning early, when I tried once more at a studio apartment, all I found out was that she'd never returned. I decided there was one place left to look. A street corner in Laguna where over a month ago something had happened that wouldn't lie still. I got in my car and headed south, and all the way down for once the Pacific Surf looked cool and hostile. The dreary desolation that hits all beach resorts out of season settled on Laguna like a thick hangover. I finally found the intersection of 3rd and Oak. With two sleepy drugstores, a dying bar, and a pottery stand closed for the winter. Nothing else. The only sign of life was a black-sweated old man on a bench
whittling listlessly at a piece of gnarled gray driftwood that matched his hands to perfection. It looked as though he'd been there for 20 years. So I decided to give him a try.
What's that to say, young fella?
I said things are pretty dull around here, huh, Pop?
I don't know. Generally, something happening. People come, people go. Like you. They've all got things on their mind.
Uh-huh. They ought to come and go more often, Pop. You'll take the dead corner, huh?
Dead? Well, I don't know about that much. Seems like this corner gets a good share of life.
Oh? I'll bet you nothing's happened in this corner in the last 6 months worth talking about.
You're wrong, son. It's run the gamut. For instance, last August, a baby was born over in front of the drugstore there in a taxi. Mrs. Wright, Gail Wright it was. Old Cy Lemley, the druggist, delivered a fine job. Drew an 8-pound boy.
And, on the other end of life?
Yeah, that too. A fellow named Peters. He was a kind of belated war casualty, you might say.
How do you mean?
Well, he went through the First World War without a scratch. And then he got himself killed by a hit-and-run driver right over there in front of the tavern. And it happened just a month ago on Armistice
Day. Hit-and-run. A man dead.
Yeah, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they say. To this day, they haven't caught up with the driver. Say, what's the matter, sir? You're white as a sheet.
I felt like I'd been hit hard below the belt. I don't remember what I told the old man. All I could think of was Jonesy on Armistice Day. A hit-and-run death and a slimy maggot breaking a wishbone charm between fat fingers. But my next step was mechanical. I started checking rooming houses that catered strictly to artists, and the third one paid off. More than I expected.
Cordelia, you're inside the neighbor, Cordelia. Come in.
Thanks. And she did have a room here, Mrs. Winkle.
Yes, she did. Now, what was it about Cordelia, Mr. Marlowe?
Well, I am a friend of hers, Mrs. Winkle, a good friend. I'm trying to locate her.
I see. Well, Cordelia left quite suddenly in the middle of the night, Mr. Marlowe. Left a half-finished canvas behind, too. Beautiful thing. Yes, sometimes artists have to spread their wings and fly.
Even in the middle of the night?
Ah, yes. I used to myself when I was younger, heaven knows. Tell me, Mr. Marlowe, is anything wrong about Cordelia?
Why do you ask that, Mrs. Winkle?
Because the morning after she left, it was Armistice Day, I think. A man came here asking about her. A fat man.
Did you know him?
No. And from what I read in his face, I don't think I'd like him.
Look, Mrs. Winkle, I gotta find out all I can about the guy right away. He means trouble for Jonesy, Cordelia. You see, she... Well, what I mean is...
Don't bother explaining. I think I understand. As it turned out, this fellow used the telephone while he was here. His name is, Orland, something Greek and sniveling like this. Begley, that's it. Orland Begley. He made a reservation at the Beekman Plaza Hotel in Hollywood.
Begley, Beekman Plaza, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, now look, did you tell him anything about Jonesy leaving like she did?
Oh, goodness, no. I said she planned on leaving. I even told him what we had for breakfast. He just smiled. It was delicious. Then he went away. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mrs. Winkle. Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Mr. Marlowe.
Good luck, she said. Sure. All the good luck Marlowe and a girl named Jonesy had coming was burned out on a street corner at 2 o'clock in the morning a month ago. It was just a chance. I could only talk to Jonesy. All the way back to L.A., I worried because... For that, I had to find her first. I was halfway down the hall to my apartment when I heard it. My phone. I ran to the door and practically ripped it off the hinges before it stopped ringing. Hello?
Hello, darling.
Jonesy. Jonesy, where are you?
That doesn't matter. I just called to say goodbye to you. I couldn't leave without that.
Now, look, you're not going anyplace. You're going to sit tight right where you are till I get there.
No, it's no use, Phil. I'm in a bad jam. I should have told you all about it long ago, but... Well, it's too late.
It's not too late, baby. I just got back from Laguna. Honey, I know all about it. Look, look, you're in love with a good private eye, you remember? Don't run, baby. That's not the answer.
There isn't any answer, Phil. There never was, Phil.
Jonesy, please, will you shut up and listen to me for a minute?
I can't, Phil. I've thought it all over. My mind's made up. So I'm going to have to get out of this mess my own way.
Honey, we've got to talk. Come on, where are you?
Please, Phil. I swear. Can't you see I'm having an awful tough time with this pinch as it is?
Jonesy, baby, look.
Don't make it tougher on me. I'm sorry for you, Phil. Thanks for the buggy ride, Mr. Well, while it lasted.
can't run. Don't try it.
I know that, but I... Goodbye,
Tom. Okay, Jonesy. We'll make it the hard way. Since I couldn't stop Jonesy from running, I figured I could at least stop the guy who was chasing us. So I called the Beekman Plaza and found out that Allen Begley was still registered. I got in my car and started for the hotel, but then I got another idea. There was a good chance that a sleazy, blackmailing crumb like Beggy carried a record of his own. Anyway, it was worth a try and would pay off better now than a beating. So I went to police headquarters instead, where Detective Lieutenant Matthews was his old sympathetic self, as usual.
So, you got some citizen all faked out, and now you want to find out if he's a crook. Now, well, what is this, something new in crime detection?
Now, look, Matthews, I'll come down some quiet Tuesday, and we'll make all the jokes all afternoon, but right now...
Now, wait a minute. If you're going to dip into police files, I would like to know a little bit more about it, huh? No joke.
All right, the guy goes by the name of Allen Begley. Fat, dark, 6'1", about 40. Could be anything from a badger to a bum check artist. Right now, he's shooting an angle that includes me. So I find him in the files and want an exclusive on him for 10 minutes, then he's all yours.
Yeah? And what's the hook? Why are you included?
Because of a brunette named Jones.
Oh. Jones,
sir. Yes, Jones. Like to make it Marlowe someday. Don't fool, Matthews. This time I'm serious.
Okay, sir. Okay, help yourself. You'll find about 3,000 fat guys in there, you know, 2,000 of them with dark hair. Go ahead and start. I'll send in one of the clerks to give you a hand.
Matthews' guess was close. With the clerk's help and hard work, we narrowed the field down to a few hundred cars and started through. Street lights had been on outside for an hour before we finally found it. 40 pounds lighter and sporting a mustache, but there was no doubt about it. James Allen, alias Jim Orlo, alias Allen Biglow, was now Allen Begley, with charges that ran from petty thievery in Louisiana to one that even got Matthews on the ball. Begley was wanted for murder in Rhode Island.
What are we waiting for, Marlo? Let's go get him.
Piled into the squad car and headed up Sunset Boulevard. I began to feel good again. For the first time, Jonesy had run away at the square line. When we turned up Whitley, Matthew set the siren, and 2 blocks above the boulevard, we stopped. Around the corner from the Beekman Plaza, it was a two-story frame hotel held together by countless coats of cheap paint only. And inside, a line of empty sweet air bottles said it took something more than ordinary ventilation to keep the musty smell from getting thick enough to chew. The jittery night clerk managed to tell us that Begley had room 212. And left his mouth hanging open while Matthew sent him outside.
Marlowe, you mentioned 10 minutes alone with him. You still want it?
Yeah. It's important to me, Matthew.
Okay. Somebody's got to go up and get him. Might as well be you. Look, the boys will cover his window from outside and both ends of the hall from the landings. If it gets tight, just whistle and duck. Go ahead.
Upstairs to the second floor, where the only light was a red bulb at the far end of the hall marked fire exit. Just then, midway down, I saw a figure backing out of a door. A fat figure was having trouble with a lock. He turned. Three fast steps toward me before he realized I was there. It was Allen Begley. When he saw me, he stopped and began slowly backing up.
You there? What do you want? What are you doing here?
Where is she, Begley?
I don't know. She ran out, I guess. It's all off, anyway, I... I'm going through with it. I changed my mind.
Sure you did. Come here, you!
You lousy murdering pig, Begley. Get him!
How did you know that? How'd you find out?
Police filed bulletin from Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hot. I had to have dough. That's the only reason I tried to shake the kid down. Yeah, but listen, you got me now, so let's make a deal. I'll keep my yap shut. Not one word about that hit and run. You let me out of here.
Bad chance, you slimy
bug. Okay, sucker. I've killed him more than once. But you won't stop me.
Okay, you guys, come in. Over there, Phil. Phil.
Oh. Oh. Nice going, Marlowe. You got him.
Land on his face where he belongs.
Hey, where are you going?
Find Jonesy, Matthews. I got to talk to her.
Hey, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
There's a brunette here in this guy.
You've got
to come in.
Well, you hear that, Marlowe? Brunette. Well, let's go. It looks like you can do your talking right here and now. Come on, boy.
I went along with Matthews, all right.
But it didn't work out like he expected because what I had to say to Jonesy then just couldn't be said. Not in a cheap hotel with a bunch of tough cops standing around. It had to wait. Wait for the hours of a long night to pass. The night I spent pounding the sidewalk through miles of back streets while I tried to get hold of myself. But all that had been 12 hours ago. Now it was morning. Now I could look at her again. Yeah, and now as I followed Mr. Early down the gray carpeted hall to a door, I figured I could tell Jonesy all I wanted to say.
She's here, Mr. Marlowe. In here.
Thanks. Well, Jonesy?
What's this?
I guess you didn't understand me.
Oh, no.
The two people are in love. They share everything. You didn't even chance, Jonesy. You see, I found out Begley was a killer after you'd already gone to his hotel to get him. You crazy kid. You should have trusted me, Jonesy. Played it straight. Because no matter how you add it up, we had something worth waiting for. Well, as you said, thanks for the buggy ride, baby. It was great. Oh, here's your little charm. Wishbone. Sorry it's broken. Goodbye, Jonesy.
Is there anything else I can do to help Mr. Marlowe?
No. Nothing. Thanks. Good day, sir.
Hillcrest Mortuary, Mr. Early is speaking.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, bringing you Raymond Chandler's most famous character, star Gerald Moore, and are produced and directed by Norman MacDonald. Script is by Robert Mitchell and Gene Levitt. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Bill Johnstone, Jane Morgan, John Daner, Edgar Barrier, and Ann Morrison. The Square Dance was called by Paul Pierce. Detective Lieutenant Matthews is played by Larry Dobkin. The special music is composed and conducted by Richard O'Rourke. Be sure and be with us again next week when Philip Marlowe says...
This time a tobacco-chewing engineer... A redhead running a bulldozer and a leprechaun on a drag line all added up to death at an unfinished trestle. And there could have been more. But then I found out which one had actually submitted the lowest bid.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Gerald Moore, comes to you every Saturday evening at this same time, transcribed.